First reading is from Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from Matthew. Now, when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. As a child, I loved this story of the feeding of the crowd. I would picture a small boy like myself gladly bringing forth his 5 loaves and his 2 fishes and offering them to Jesus. I'm taking some literary license here, since that boy actually appears in John's version of this story, not in Matthew's. I could just picture Jesus smiling at the boy for his good sense in packing a meal, which apparently all the adults failed to do, or maybe couldn't do, and for his generosity in sharing it. I would picture Jesus smiling and then holding his hands over the loaves and fishes and bowing his head and blessing the food. And then I would try to picture the mystical multiplication occurring. Being a very visual person of vast imagination, I could picture an amazing, amazing miracle. And I was impressed. In my educational journey, I was at one time a little skeptical of miracles, including the feeding of the crowd. Perhaps I thought there was a more reasonable explanation, something more logical, like everybody really had a meal packed and stowed under their tunics, but they didn't want to share them until the boy's generosity softened their hearts, which would be sort of a miracle. But in my spiritual journey, I have come to believe that Jesus performed flat-out miracles, and that God still does. Miracles have become more and more a matter of fact to my faith. I have no doubt or surprise that Jesus could do such a thing, and I find myself just as impressed today as when I was a boy. So I'm not prone to trying to explain or rationalize miracles. I don't spend a lot of time arguing them. Miracles are unexplainable and illogical things that you either believe or you don't. I believe in miracles. I believe that God performs them. What I'd like to talk about then are some of the things surrounding this miracle that impress me. I'm really impressed by Jesus' compassion. Jesus was trying to be alone. He had just heard that his cousin John had been beheaded. Jesus grieved for John, not just because John was family. John was a prophet of God, a man who spoke truth, God's truth. John was the one who prepared the way for Jesus. And that way must have suddenly taken on a stark reality of impending doom when Jesus received the awful news. I think it would have been a very sad and a very scary day for Jesus. I think Jesus needed a day off. When you look at the Gospels, it doesn't seem like Jesus ever got much downtime, much time alone. He was always on the go, always working for the kingdom. I can imagine how exhausted he must have been. And so Jesus decided to take a much needed day off and climbed into a boat and set out for the other side of the lake, where he found the same needy crowd that he had left behind. How do you react when a planned day off is suddenly interrupted? Angry? Frustrated? Weepy? Jesus could have felt any of those things, could have turned the boat around, could have said no to the crowd, and really, who would have blamed him? But Jesus had compassion on the crowd. And that impresses me. Because you and I know perfectly well what it means to be tired and sad and afraid. And we know what it means to have time off messed up. And those things do not always invoke compassion in us. This compassionate miracle sheds a lot of light on what kind of a minister Jesus was and what kind of ministers he wants us to be. I'm really impressed by the way Jesus carried out the miracle. He didn't say, he could have said, but he didn't say, I will provide for the crowd's need. I will feed them. No. He said to his disciples, you give them something to eat. The disciples tried to pass off the responsibility by talking about their limitations. It's easier to see limitations on what we may achieve for the Lord than to step out in faith, believing that there is no limit to what God can do. In our reading from Isaiah, we hear God say, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." The psalmist sang, "The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." I suspect that if we ask God why that doesn't seem to be happening in the world, God would respond, "You give them something to eat." A dozen years ago, there was growing bipartisan agreement in our country that the world has enough resources to feed every person in the world, that no one in these times should have to die of starvation. George McGovern and Bob Dole actually worked together on a book called Ending Hunger, A Challenge to Persons of Faith. I haven't heard much about that lately. If we have the resources, why are people still dying of starvation? Feeding the hungry is one of the things Jesus talked about the most. One of the things he called his followers to do with frequency. Why isn't it yet happening? According to Dole and McGovern, it is because individuals and churches and governments and the world aren't demanding it. Aren't demanding an end to world hunger. Well, heck, maybe we're not even asking for it. Which may be because we're too worried about the limits of what we have, rather than trusting God's abundance. Do you ever tell God what you can only do and thereby excuse yourself from responsibility, rather than ask God what you might possibly do with God's blessing? When the limited rations, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, were given to Jesus, there was more than enough. More than enough. I'm really impressed by Jesus' stewardship. The miracle wasn't over until the leftovers had been gathered up. His disciples took up 12 baskets full of leftovers. Do you think they wondered why they should go to all that trouble when Jesus could just provide so abundantly from so little? It was extra work to pick up all the leftovers after all. They could have left them and expected Jesus to perform another miracle the next time they needed one. But Jesus wanted them to be good stewards of God's abundance. He wanted them to appreciate and be impressed by the miracle and to demonstrate their awe and their appreciation. That's how God expects God's children to use every good thing God gives us. Compassionately, faithfully, responsibly, thankfully. That impresses me on me.